Okay, so tonight I want to talk about forgiveness. Oh yeah. I want to talk about forgiveness because forgiveness is something, you know, fantastic. We love forgiveness as Christians. So we're meant to love forgiveness as Christians at least. Yeah. Receiving is great. I was listening to a song about forgiveness today actually. And there's a line in the song which says it always goes to people who don't deserve it. Yeah, that's true actually. Forgiveness is the best, but tonight I'm not going to focus on forgiveness so much as the absence of it. Tonight I want to focus on lack of forgiveness and why we should forgive. And tonight I have three very important reasons why we should forgive. God calls us to forgive as we were forgiven. First one is a quick one because it's really black and white in the Bible. Because there's literally dozens of verses that make it explicit. So number one, straight out of the gate, lack of forgiveness separates us from God. Are we right with God? Right with God basically means that there isn't anything coming between us and God. At a base level, what comes between us and God is sin. That's basically what it is. It's simple. Sin comes between us and God. At a base level, we become right with God when we accept his forgiveness. And sin isn't getting in the way anymore. Everything is resolved on the cross. And we can walk forward with everything right between us, yeah? When we initially become Christians, we pretty much always come to him with our lives a mess. And everything laid bare before him. And all we know is that we need him. And he puts us back together. I know I was a mess when I came to Jesus. Jessica and I actually met up with and had dinner with one of the guys who was there and a youth leader at the time when I was 14 at Planet Shakers. Sometime during the dinner conversation with this guy who was there, he mentioned how funny it was and how funny I was when I got saved. We were all sitting down, the preacher would say something like, say his name, and I'd leap to my feet in front of 6,000 people and be like, Jesus! It was awesome, you know, I was full on after him in an embarrassing way. Really embarrassing. Yeah, it was great. All right, we all come to Jesus broken, and it's awesome when we accept his incredible forgiveness. But where we run into problems further down the line is we have this unfortunate tendency to keep things to ourselves. And instead of coming to him with everything laid bare, we come instead hanging on to things. And those things come between us and God. Essentially, we get in the way of our relationship with God and we interfere with his ability to work in our lives. There are a number of things that can cause issues with our relationship with God, like sin, that we insist on hanging on to, and some other things, but probably the biggest thing that we allow to get in between us and God is lack of forgiveness. Mark chapter 11, verse 25, which will come up on the screens, says that, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 to 15 says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I could go on like that all day. Because I was actually surprised. I looked up the amount of verses that there were that mirror this exact sentiment in the Bible. There are a lot. Dozens. In other words, failing to forgive other people prevents us from receiving God's forgiveness. It's not that God doesn't want to forgive us, because he does. He really, really does. It's that in the act of refusing to forgive, we are saying no to God's forgiveness. We are creating the divide. Lack of forgiveness separates us from God, but it doesn't just stop there, unfortunately, because lack of forgiveness also stops God from being able to work in our lives. Now, we live in a complex world. In our present time, it doesn't matter what stage of life we are in or what our socioeconomic status is or anything, we all have pressing concerns. That doesn't matter. That goes across all walks of life. We all have pressing concerns. We all have stress. We could talk until Jesus comes back about what separates each other, and there are people who are more in need than others, and that's fine. And we do need to talk about those things. But one thing that we all have that weighs on our minds, and one of the concerns that we are all facing, is that we need God to work in our lives. Everyone, doesn't matter who you are, we all need God to show up. We all need God to work. God's involvement in our lives doesn't stop with forgiving us of our sin. It doesn't stop with him dying for us. You know, he didn't die and stay there. He rose from the dead and he lived a resurrected life. For people who follow Jesus, things aren't meant to end with us dying to sin. We are supposed to live a resurrected life afterwards. A recurring theme for us this year, coming into this new building, has been walking in victory. Walking in a resurrected life. We don't need God to just deal with the wrong things we have done. We need him to show up in every area of our lives. And we are in the incredible position of having a God who is eager to show up in every area of our lives. But unfortunately, just like with our relationship with him, lack of forgiveness can prevent God from being able to work in our lives. All of my life, up until I was 17, I believe, I struggled with an anger problem. Being brutally honest. Even as a baby, my dad was the only person in the entire world who could calm me down. Don't ask me why, but he was. I would get so worked up, so amazingly worked up. I'd just scream the house down, but he was the only person who could calm me down. I would get that worked up. I would completely lose it all throughout my childhood. It would build up inside me, and I would see red, literally, and would completely lose my non-existent cool. Thankfully, through a number of different circumstances, including practicing combat sports, I developed a long fuse. So I would still completely lose it, but now it took a while. When I was in high school and college, I lost my temper 3 times. I can't remember what the first was. I remember the second one. It was really embarrassing and was in front of the entire grade and several teachers. But the third time was completely different from the rest. The third time was completely different from the rest. Yeah, I'm that kid, by the way, Jen. I'm that kid. Every time I lost my temper, up until the third time, I was seeing red and I'm like, I'm going to kill someone. The third time it was like a cool anger. Not cool as in awesome, cool as in. Just make that distinction because I say awesome a lot and cool. But it was a cool as in temperature anger. There was all of this rage and hatred and anger that was all bottled up. But for once, my thoughts were 100% clear. The circumstance was that there was someone who had been spreading around the school that I had told some incredibly obscene lies about someone else. So someone was lying about me, telling lies about someone else. A whole heap of people were now questioning their relationships with me. And I was really angry. To this day, I have no idea who spread the rumors. Looking back, I am so glad that I didn't know. Because if I had found out who it was, that person would probably either be severely disabled or no longer with us. I say that seriously. And I knew I was physically capable of it, 5 years of combat training capable, at least. I was in the library at this particular moment of this particular day. The day after I found out about someone... the day after I found out about these rumours. And someone was egging me on. They were pushing all of the wrong buttons. In a very toxic way. Questioning my manhood, etc., which for a guy is such a fantastic thing to do if you want them to remain calm. And the people who knew me well enough, who were still sticking by me, told me to just get out. They're like, just get out. I was like a pressure cooker. So I walked out of the library. Now, there was this one particular staff member at school that I actually had a pretty good relationship with. She was the librarian. And you see, I actually, this is a different circumstance, but I had a bit of a bone to pick with this teacher. Because when I was a teenager, I had this thing where basically at any one time I would have one or two large pimples on my head that were hidden by my hair. And not like acne, not really. It's just that, yeah, I'd have one or two on my head. And that they really annoyed me. And you see, there was this one day that I was really late to class. And this librarian, who, you know, we liked each other quite a lot. We got along. And she comes up to me and she's like, "Joel, get to class." Slaps me on the head with a book. And the book landed squarely on top of the only pimple on my head at that time. I swear the pain in that moment was comparable with getting kicked in the privates. It was just paralyzing. I'm like, yep. I'm going. Lesson learned. I don't think she realized what happened. Man, it hurt. I'm joking, of course. That did happen, but I don't have a bone to pick with that teacher. I mean, you know, she had nothing to do with that. It's all good. I didn't care. I still had a great relationship with that librarian. It just caned. It really caned. I'm never going to forget that moment. Anyway, this day that I was having a really rough time of it, that provides some context to my relationship with that teaser. I was having a really rough time of it this one day when I left the library because I was a pressure cooker and I was outside the library and I was trying so hard to contain my anger that I was literally crying with the strain of it. This librarian walks out. She takes one look at me and knowing that I was usually a pretty happy guy who at least looked like he had it all together. And she said straight away that I need to go see this particular teacher. And this teacher, by the way, that she was telling me to go see was the most feared teacher in the entire school because she was responsible for all of the discipline of all of the grade 11 and 12s in the school. And so for 5 years, I had not had a single interaction with this teacher. Because I'm not going to mess with them. Anyway, I trusted this librarian, so I said yes. And I went to see the teacher. She was telling me to go see. And this teacher, she sat me down, listened to what was going on, and she asked me some questions. And we figured out that, surprise, surprise, I had an anger problem. And while there was a feeling of helplessness that was contributing to it all because of a previous experience when I was a kid, ultimately what was going on was I wasn't forgiving anyone. I would hang on to everything. I mean, seriously, if anyone had ever done anything that I perceived to be something against me, I remembered it from when I was about 3 years old. Everything. In that moment, with that teacher, I decided that I would become a forgiving person, and I gave everything, including my anger, to God. And we prayed and asked him to heal me of it. It was the first time in my life that I experienced divine healing. It wasn't just emotional, I felt it physically. Like cold water being poured into a boiling jug, I felt this cool sensation flowing through me until all of the anger from my entire life was gone. God took my anger and he gave back to me control of my temper. Miraculously, literally, I have not lost my temper since. Not in the same way. I mean, I get angry, sure, but anger is actually a healthy emotion to feel. And I have never lost my temper like that since. It's not like I'm not filled with anger anymore. Yeah. Probably wouldn't be here if it hadn't happened. It's because I decided, and I have learnt to forgive. And that opened the way for God to heal that area of my life. I guarantee you, if I had not been willing to forgive, but had asked God to take my anger away, he wouldn't have. Because I would have been inviting him in at the same time as I was saying a very clear no. I don't want you to. Lack of forgiveness stops God from being able to work in our lives, but not only that, failing to forgive doesn't just separate us from God and prevent him from working in our lives, it hamstrings our ability to reach other people. There are plenty of people in this world who go about their daily lives and don't believe that they need God. Often when someone begins a relationship with God, it's when they hit rock bottom, right? It's when I did, when I hit rock bottom, I realized how much I needed God, and that was the catalyst for me giving myself to him. Looking back at the people who invested in me before I came to Jesus, man, I did some stupid things. I said some stupid things. Some of them were quite hurtful. Some of it was out of ignorance, and other things were just because I was immature and also a broken person. I'm only here because of the direct ability of those people to not just tolerate, but forgive me. And they didn't say, this was wrong, but I forgive you. They just loved me. We cannot reach the lost if we cannot forgive. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. The lost are broken people. Broken people are hurting. Hurting people hurt others. And how can we reach hurting people if we can't forgive them when they hurt us? We can't reach the lost if we can't forgive. It's at this point that we can look at ourselves and be like, yeah, I don't have a problem with forgiving. I forgive everyone. Yeah, cool. If you don't have anyone left in your life that you are aware of that you need to forgive, awesome. But let me ask you a question. You get offended? We live in an age where being a keyboard warrior seems to be a virtuous thing. Where we believe that we need to correct someone's sin when they aren't a Christian. Where we have a problem with what people wear to the point where it disgusts us. We can be frustrated when things change that we don't want to change. We get offended on behalf of other people. Often when those people aren't offended themselves. The entire Western world has gone nuts after offense. Our culture has fallen in love with it. To the point where if you aren't offended, you can't possibly care. This is the definition of offense. Annoyance or resentment brought about by a perceived insult to or disregard for oneself. As Christians, we should be immune to offense. We should keep a close eye on ourselves and rein ourselves in if we are ever offended. Why? Let me share a secret with you. Offense is unforgiveness. There is nothing separating the two. They are the same thing. If we are offended, we aren't forgiving. We can disagree with someone. That's not offense. That's disagreement. That's fine. We can be disappointed, we can be saddened, things can break our hearts, we can even be righteously angry. But if we are offended by someone, we are taking something that we disagree with, we are making it ours, and we are hanging on to it, and that is the polar opposite of forgiveness. Now, we aren't called to be doormats. We aren't called to not stand up for ourselves. On the contrary, we're supposed to be mighty men and women of God that fight against injustice. But on the other hand, what we are called to be is the most loving people on the face of the earth. And how can we be that if we can't forgive? John chapter 14, verse 12 to 14 says, "Very truly I tell you, Anyone who believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus said we would do greater things than he did. That will not happen if we can't learn to forgive each other and those that are lost. If we can't forgive people who get abortions, how will we ever shine the love of Jesus into their lives? And how will we ever sit with them and weep for their lost child when they realize what they have done? I could give countless examples of ways that will be required to forgive people if we are to reach people. But there's this one testimony that I think sums it up pretty well. A minister named Shane Willard, which some of you may know of, told me the story of a president of a gang in South Africa who he led to Jesus. One of the people in his gang had a brother, and this brother, the brother was murdered. One of the people in his gang had a brother, and that brother was murdered. Both the gang leader and this guy who lost his brother had come to know Jesus at this point. They used their connections in the gang world to find this guy. And when they got to him, he was in prison for something else, I think. The guards knew who this guy was, who these guys were, and they took a few minutes off. The guy who lost his brother entered the cell of the man who killed his brother. And this guy knew exactly what was coming. He's thinking, I'm going to die, and I deserve it. Now, the guy whose brother was murdered looks at the killer and he says, "You killed my brother, and there is only one way that you can repay me for losing him, and that's to replace him." There's only one way you can repay me, and that's to replace him. Kind of makes our offense seem really small by comparison, doesn't it? That's the love of Jesus. He made this guy who killed his brother, his brother. He led that guy to God. As a church, if we can individually make sure that we get forgiveness right, we are preparing the way for Jesus to do great things. Preparing for the victory that Jesus has already brought, that he has already purchased for us. But if we insist on not forgiving, if we hold on to our offense, we willingly create a divide between us and God. We hinder God's ability to work in our lives, and we directly interfere with God's work that he wants to do through us. Let's be the most loving people on the face of the earth. Let's make sure we get forgiveness right. I'd like to invite the band up to the stage, please. Let's all stand together. Let's just close our eyes. Let's do some business with God. You know, sometimes we can't see something that we need to deal with. Sometimes there's something that we just didn't realize, because up until this point, God hadn't highlighted it. The key to mastering forgiveness is by going to the Lord of forgiveness.